This is Balancing Perspectives, the podcast for counselors of all levels to build both skills and character to better facilitate growth in yourself and others. I'm Michael Oyster, host of Balancing Perspectives. Today we focus on why theory is so important. Many counseling approaches today argue that theory is not central to the issue of change, only a process of change itself. These behavioral approaches often promote this idea, but that's actually based on a theory. So, let's explore the practical reasons for theory when helping people change. Some counseling approaches say that having a theory isn't important to help people change, only your techniques to help facilitate changing. These approaches come from the practical, hands-on quadrant of skill building, education, symptom reduction, representing many of the newer fields of cognitive behavioral methods. Other forms of counseling spend a great deal in the theoretical arena, such as analytical psychology, to help better understand what purpose a person's behavior might be expressing or correcting. Practitioners of these older approaches say that understanding the dynamics of a behavior's purpose is important because then the counselor can best help the person make needed changes to better serve deeper purposes than mere symptom reduction. So as an example, why is a person depressed? Is it because of conditioning and learned responses from experiences? Is it from one's thought processes and assumptions? Could it be an expression of a developmental change or internal personality conflict? So there are several areas where these different approaches are in conflict. The cognitive behavioral approaches focus more on behavior instead of its cause, being practical to the issue at hand. While the analytical psychology from Carl Jung suggests that behavior is an expression of deeper conflicts in a person that need to be listened to in order to support the appropriate change in behavior. Analytical psychology is so theoretically based that a clinician needs to continually study its processes in order to have the knowledge base to help facilitate an appropriate solution. Many clients and clinicians would say that this is the joy of Jungian psychology, a process that's hardly a burden at all when you discover such richness from your own soul. To be fair here, cognitive behavioral approaches actually have a rich theoretical basis, especially Alice's REBT. Others, such as motivational interviewing, which is one of my personal favorites, states that it has no theoretical foundation, only an approach to facilitating change that needs no further theory. Ironically, Miller is now trying to develop a theoretical foundation for these techniques. So, why would counseling techniques need a theory? And how could both of these therapeutic approaches be true at the same time? One diminishing the need for, and the other not functioning without, theory. Allow me to offer a poem inspired by D.H. Lawrence's poem, I Am Not a Mechanism. This poem is called, I Am Not a Computer. I am not a computer, an assembly of various programs. And it is not because the hardware has failed, or the software has errors, that I am ill. I am ill because of wounds to an intangible center, the place from which my being goes along with required conflict, and the temptation is to stop the changes. These wounds take time for resolution, the culmination of long cycles pretending to go nowhere, where finally the process is found to be the goal. Help me by listening to my journey. Witness my unfolding. Support my paradoxical humanity. Do not act as if I am a machine. So let's explore how the role of therapy could be important to counseling. I want to be clear as we go through this process. I'm not wanting to promote one approach over the other because I believe both ways of viewing the role of theory is legitimate. That being said, as cognitive behavioral approaches have become more sought after as a platform for facilitating counseling, there seems to have become an imbalanced idea about the role of theory, as if theory doesn't matter. Even worse is the idea that theory complicates the basic needs of clients to acquire skills, such as coping skills, communication skills, and so on. I am promoting the idea that both first, theory is needed to understand how problems develop. Problems are created by a number of different reasons, and they are not mutually exclusive. So, a person can be depressed because of a series of disappointing events in their life, and also because of a developmental challenge faced in adolescence, midlife, or end-of-life times. Cognitive behavioral approaches are great at reducing symptoms and increasing skills, but Jungian approaches can also attend to important aspects of personality growth or character development at the same time. Theory helps to guide the process of identifying the problem. Second, theory is needed to help form the solution to problems. Ironically, not all counseling approaches require identifying a specific problem in order to find a solution. Solution-focused therapy would be a good example of this. Most counseling approaches, though, do identify a problem because it helps guide the clinician to possible solutions. Theory tells us how this solution is best identified and then delivered by or communicated to the client. Theory helps the clinician know how much the solution can possibly come from the clinician, him or herself, or how it is best discovered by the client. As client-focused as many cognitive approaches are, there seems to be assumptions that clients have problems because of a deficit of skills, and that the clinician has those skills to teach. From an analytic approach, each client's solution is unique and could be quite different from another person struggling with the same diagnosis. For one person, depression could be a reaction to being demoralized and therefore needs to be decreased, while for another person, depression could be an expression of grief and needs to be refined and expressed more directly. So, theory helps to better understand what is being required from the solution, so that the solution itself does not cause deeper problems. And lastly, theory is needed to help continue developing the counseling process. One of the important roles of theory is not just identifying the problem and its solution, but also the process itself. For cognitive behavioral approaches, the process of counseling is primarily education, and so the therapist is an educator or trainer for the needs the client has. In comparison, analytic approaches emphasize the personal development of the therapist to be a facilitator to the character development of the client. So, for example, the idea that the therapist attending to their own growth is central to the analytic approaches, but not generally discussed in cognitive arenas. You can imagine that in cognitive behavioral approaches, learning skills to teach clients is truly what's important, while the analytic approaches, self-development through art, literature, mythology, and religion, as well as their own therapy, is important to the practice, not necessarily skills to teach clients. So, theory informs the process of counseling itself, guiding the role the therapist has in facilitating change for the client. Being balanced in a discussion of theory is certainly difficult. Let me offer you an incredible example of this. In most all psychology textbooks, you'll read that the definition of psychology is the scientific study of human behavior, emotion, and thought. The scientific part of this definition is usually referring to empirical methods, not generally qualitative approaches, even though that's also scientific. It is a very cognitive behavioral definition. So what is the analytical definition of psychology? Well, it breaks down the word. Psyche is Greek for soul, and ology is the study or discourse of a topic. Or in other words, psychology is the study of the soul. You won't generally see this definition in textbooks. Why? Well, now, that's a big question, and we'll need several more podcasts to offer my ideas. For now, may I suggest that cognitive behavioral theories have been favored over analytic ones to such a degree that few psychology students are even introduced to Carl Jung in any substantive manner. Now, I don't want to promote the same tactic by saying that we should cast cognitive approaches out in favor of Jungian ones. Instead, allow me to encourage you to do something radical. Bring both of these ideas together, both the scientific study of the human trinity, behavior, emotion, and thinking, as well as one's tending of the soul. So, today's topic has been over the importance of theory itself. I've offered a running comparison between cognitive behavioral theory with analytic theory, over three central needs to identify a problem, its solution, and to guide the counseling process itself. I hope I've reinforced the need to develop a theory of counseling and to begin promoting Jungian ideas in the cognitively dominated field of psychology, where we certainly need to be balancing perspectives. Thank you for listening to Balancing Perspectives. Please send an email to balancingperspectives@gmail.com and tell me your thoughts of today's topic. Or visit my website, balancingperspectives.podbean.com, to learn more about how to facilitate growth in yourself and others. Hope to meet you at the next edition of Balancing Perspectives.